When Macca talks, Cairns listens. John McKenzie, the local you know. For Pacific Toyota, better service, better range, better by far North Queensland on 846 4CA.
This is an interesting one. It seems to have slipped through most of the media this morning. It's just come through onto my desk. It says here, Jacinta Price says, quote, Australians do not need to be welcomed to their own country. She's talking about these ubiquitous welcomes to country. And it came up last week because I think it was Dizzy said, we're having the Vietnam commemoration next Friday, and we don't want to have welcome to country because it's a transactional arrangement. These people that do the welcome to country get paid for it. And a whole lot of people probably don't know that it's a significant amount of money. And he said, no. This is about people coming back having made such a sacrifice in that conflict in Vietnam. So good on him for saying that. A whole lot of people are wondering why on earth we had to have welcome to country everywhere, even when the plane's landing at the airport. Oh, I've got to have a welcome to country. And what's the name of the airport we're landing at? It's got to have two names now. I mean, this business about every town's got to be given an Aboriginal name as well. Really? Who asked the people of Australia about this? It's just been lumped on us, and it's irritating, if not annoying, just about everybody. So Jacinta's come out today and said, no, welcome to country's a lot of baloney. It's a lot of breast-beating baloney. Opposition Indigenous Australian spokeswoman Jacinta Price has called for an end to welcome to country acknowledgements before every sporting event and public gathering because the practice is wrong and, she says, it's dividing Australia, dividing the nation. The attack comes after former Prime Minister Tony Abbott last week conceded it was getting a little, he was getting a bit sick of the welcome to countries, arguing the nation belongs to all of us, not just to some of us. Senator Price, who grew up in Alice Springs, she's a Walpiri woman and the leading campaign spokeswoman on the against the constitutionally enshrined voice, said Australians don't need to be welcomed to their own country. She said there's no problem with acknowledging our history, but rolling out these performances before every sporting event or public gathering is definitely divisive, said Senator Price. It's not welcoming. It's telling non-Indigenous Australians, this isn't your country, and that's wrong. Jacinta Price said, we're all Australians, and we share this great land. Peter Dutton last week said he thought that welcome to country was a respectful way to acknowledge the Indigenous heritage, but argued the practice was overdone and often used as an exercise in virtue signalling. He said, I do get the point that when you go to a function, there's an MC who I think appropriately can do the recognition. Then you get the next 5 or 10 speakers who each do their own acknowledgement to country. And frankly, I think it detracts from the significance of the statement. I think there are a lot of corporates that just do it because they think it's what people want to hear. Anyway, it goes on to say, an acknowledgement of country is made every sitting day next to the Lord's Prayer in the House of Representatives, a practice that was introduced in 2010. And a number of coalition MPs on Sunday supported the substance of what Jacinta Price said. Nationals leader David Littleproud said, welcome to country has just gone over the top. He said, I think, unfortunately, what's happened, it's not just sporting events. You can go to a meeting and everyone makes an acknowledgement. I think it's gone overboard, too far. Is it necessary? I think it's a reasonable question to ask. Keith Pitt said the welcome to country was supposed to be culturally significant. If that's the case, they should be treated as such, not thrown around on T-shirts, email signatures, video conference, and aircraft arrivals. He said, I think sensible management would be widely welcomed. Goes on and on. This is what Alex Antic said. Endless acknowledgements of country performed by white middle-class professionals before meetings do little more than brick in their credentials in front of an imaginary court of wokeness approval. So at long last, I mean, a whole lot of people saying, do we have to have a welcome to country every 5 minutes? Do we have to have the second name now pinned on every name that's been around for 200 years of towns across the country? Who decided on this? Was there any vote taken on this? No. Lumped on Australians everywhere. I just want to get to another matter. This is front and centre in the Courier Mail and the Cairns Post today. Rival families out in Mount Isa are being urged by police not to seek payback amid an ongoing homicide investigation into the death of 27-year-old man allegedly killed in a hit and run. Police are investigating after a man from the Territory, Northern Territory, was found dead, and another remains in critical condition after a horror hit and run in Mount Isa Sunday night. Initial investigations suggest a car travelling southbound collided with two pedestrians, 10:55pm or 9:55pm. One of the pedestrians, a 27-year-old from Tennant Creek, died at the scene. And the Mount Isa Superintendent Tom Armit said, police are investigating whether an ongoing dispute between rival families has led to this. This is an interesting insight. He said, for months there's been an ongoing conflict happening in Mount Isa between First Nations families from Mount Isa and the Indigenous families from the Northern Territory. And things appear to have erupted as more people cross the border into town. See, we've been talking about this with these alcohol restrictions in the Territory. What does it do? Oh, well, the heavy drinkers simply get pushed out of town. They go on to another town and there's issues there. You see, so many politicians, they say, oh, this is the way to go. We'll just ban it. And we won't think of the long-term ramifications, which means it just transfers the problem from one town or city to another town or city. They've been doing it for decades. They did it here in Cairns back in 2002 because the alcohol management plans were introduced to all the communities on the Cape. What happened? Just transferred all the heavy drinkers into Mareeba and Cairns and Townsville. So all these silly government ministers and members do the same silly thing. I've got State Member for Traeger on the line. This is Robbie Catter, Queensland State Leader, Catter's Australian Party, though, about this issue in Mount Isa. G'day, Robbie.
Yeah, g'day, John.
Is that a result, in your view, of what's going on with these alcohol restrictions over the border in the Territory? You've got a lot of people turning up in Mount Isa from the west, it would seem.
Yeah, you hit a hole in one there, John. That's the gist of it, is that, you know, everyone wants a one-size-fits-all sort of response to the public. So in the Northern Territory, the Labor government go, oh, well, let's just put alcohol bans in, that'll fix it. And it displaces all those itinerant drinkers, chronic alcoholics, drug addicts, and it just displaces the problem. Mostly, you know, a few stay in place, but mostly they'll just move to where they can get access to alcohol. So we've had that here in Mount Isa, and building up. As you, I know, you've had it in Cairns, and it's a multiplier effect, because if, you know, if they play up here and get bashed up and kicked out of town, then they're likely to move to towns like Cairns as the next stop, and you get that, you know, added with the Cave as well. So, yeah, it all builds up, and I suppose lay it over that too, John. You'd have to, you know, in my personal view, a lot of it is people are bored that if you don't work and if you haven't got a job and you're, there's not much to do and you're drinking, well, you get up to mischief, and it's a combination of all that. And we've, in fact, one of those persons, I'd been notified to police 6-12 months ago, this is going to be a problem. It was brewing, and here it is. So it's sort of, I guess it's a microcosm of what we've been doing with the government for the last 5 years, is saying this is a problem, people are going to get killed. Well, it's happening before our very eyes, and you can understand why I get very frustrated.
Robbie, the fact of the matter is, city-based representatives, at whatever level, but particularly at state level, don't have any clue about how country communities tick, in Queensland particularly, and of course out there in the Territory too, by the sounds of it. How can they be so out of touch? They just don't seem to make an effort to find out what's going on the ground in those communities before they intervene and make disastrous mistakes, disastrous decisions.
Well, I'll say sarcastically, with, you know, the PM and the Premier were here, Mount Isa Vision Radio, so they must have it all figured out now. They flew in, and we, your dad and I, had a meeting with the small business around town last night, and they said, well, anyone hit them up about the crime and the drinking, the itinerants? So, obviously we constantly always bring that stuff up with them, but they don't want to. They want to come out for the big events, but they don't want to fix any of these problems. All the people making the decision live in Brisbane and Canberra, and they may come up with all the policy, and they haven't got the slightest clue what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And they'll often say, "Oh, it's a complicated cultural thing. You don't understand." You go, "No, I do understand they're just bored and they're drinking too much and bored and they're fighting. Like that's pretty simple. And but they try and work it out from down Brisbane and Canberra, mate, and they tell us what to do. And the politicians, because they don't spend enough time up here, they just listen to them blindly. And who am I to correct them? You know, they'll just say, well, that's just Rob Cattick. In fact, they've literally said that to me in Parliament where we've been in shouting matches. Well, you don't have all the answers. And I said, well, maybe I don't, but these aren't even my answers. This is what people are bringing to me. And what have you got? Because they got nothing.
So the heavy drinkers in Mount Isa resent the arrival in town of the heavy drinkers from Alice Springs and whatever. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, well, you know, funnily enough, like a lot of Aboriginal families, like one of the biggest complainants I get in my office in Mount Isa, a local Aboriginal family saying, we don't want this here. This is not us. It's given us a bad name. Get them the hell out of town, Rob. And they're the hardest. They're probably the hardest on me in my office.
Yeah.
And that's true. You know, a lot of them got jobs in the mine paying off a house and they get tarred with the same brush. Mm. And it sort of creates that division and, you know, ill feeling from the non-Indigenous population in town where they're sort of saying, oh, you know, all these black fellas in town, rah, rah, rah. Mm. And that would hurt you, I suppose, if you're a hard-working black fellow at the mine that's got a job and trying to get by. So I get a lot of anger out of, you know, good hard-working families here that have been generational in the mines and saying, you've got to do something about this. So I don't feel too pressured one way or the other to identify race or whatever in the problem because I call it how it is, and I know everyone else in Mount Isa here. Well, most people in Mount Isa are calling it how it is, and they just want a problem solved.
Mm. Of course, getting them out of town out there means getting them into town in Mareeba, Cairns, and Townsville. Of course, that I suppose is the end of the road. I mean, we can't say getting them out of town and head them off to Brisbane. That ain't going to work.
No, but you certainly, you know, it doesn't help when you've. We've had up to 400 living in the riverbed here in Mount Isa.
Mm.
And one thing you can absolutely guarantee is they're getting no closer to, you know, there might be, let's say, 10 or 20% out of that you could turn around with a bit of help. But one thing for sure, you're not going to turn them around if they're just sitting down there drinking and exacerbating that problem. But, you know, if they're back in the territory where they're funded where they're funded to do these things and they've got the, because a lot of these people aren't picked up in the ABS, obviously, because they just live in the riverbed. So they're just lost in the system here and we're supposed to deal with them here in Queensland. And it's, you know, no one wants to really own the problem. I was talking to a counterpart in Northern Territory yesterday, the Member of Parliament just across the border, and we discuss these things, but it's just hard in trying to get traction because it's, you know, probably same for him with his government in Darwin. That's just out of sight, out of mind. They don't really care about the problem. And we're paying the price, and it's actually come to deaths and alleged murders now. So it's pretty serious, John.
I've got to say, Jacinta Price, she's prepared to speak out about these welcome to countries. They're every 5 minutes around every corner saying it's dividing the nation. It's wrong and it's dividing Australia.
Yep.
Interesting, isn't it? She's showing a lot of courage.
It is, mate. And I'll be honest, you'd probably never expect to hear this out of me or my friends, but, you know, every now and again in Mount Isa, there's a, I don't know, say it's NAIDOC week or something, or there's a, you're out at the lake and they do a Aboriginal ceremony, and you think, well, that's good, that's fitting, you know? But it's, I don't really mind that. But then when I go back to, you go back and they're saying, welcome to country in a meeting on lead alliance or, you know, some procedural meeting in the hospital, it's just tokenistic. Yeah. And, I mean, it's just ridiculous, and everyone knows it's ridiculous and feels obligated to go along, and it feels like you're living in this, you know, alternate universe where everyone's got to, like, act silly and... Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that everyone feels they have to do it, so they stop making judgment calls on saying, well, actually, it's probably a bit silly doing it now because they just think, oh, no, we're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
And it takes the meaning away from it entirely because people don't even know when they shouldn't be doing it. And for goodness sakes, coming off the plane where they wouldn't know who the hell the traditional owners are, if there was any in this space or not, and they just say, you know, we're welcome. It's just, you know, it makes an absolute mockery of it. And good on Jacinta and those others for speaking out about it because it's, you know, it is divisive and it takes away from when you do have a good, you do have a good Aboriginal thing that they put on and you know, it does have meaning. Well, a lot of people now are going, oh, this is more of that rubbish when sometimes it's not, sometimes it does mean something. But, you do it all the time, it just makes a mockery of it.
And all the separate names, the alternative names now for cities and towns across the country.
Oh, well,
and everyone says, well, were we asked about this? Who lumbered this on us?
Yeah,
who decided we can't use the original name for Brisbane's now Meanjin and whatever else? It goes on and on. I mean, who decided on this?
Well, you know, John, the interesting one will be when they get to Townsville, because probably the worst scoundrel you had out of all the explorers was Robert Towns, who was Blackbird, a slave trader.
Yeah.
And the whole of Townsville. So good luck trying to change the name of Townsville.
Yes.
But you know, if you're going to pick one, that should be the one you were going to change. So
exactly. Let
them deal with that. Because where do you pull the ripcord on all this, John?
Oh, exactly.
And, you can't. Mm. These people will not stop until they break down every institution.
Mm.
And it's up to us, a lot of us politicians, to keep saying, no, we don't accept this.
Yes.
And standing up and saying, look, you don't have to go along with this.
Mm.
There is a lot of us out there that that see through the nonsense on this. And I would probably class myself as someone pretty sympathetic to the Aboriginal culture and whatever out there, but there's just so much nonsense out there that 80-90% of it's just absolute rubbish and has been driven into us. And the harder they push it on us...
Yeah.
The harder people are going to resist,
I'm pretty sure
I'd have a lot of Aboriginal friends would share the same view.
Yeah.
They'd just say, "Well, this is all just kind of big rubbish."
Very well said, Robbie Catter. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
That's Robbie Catter, state member for Traeger, which is out Isaway, and the Queensland state leader of Catter's Australian Party KAP.